one lucky duck. I'm going to save that and put it in my repertoire somewhere. And all that right there. I like that haircut. Y'all notice his haircut? I'm telling you right now, buddy, he is the talk of the town. It's good to see you this morning. We're glad you're here. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Psalm, chapter number 96. And for our opening reading, we'll look in Psalms in chapter number 96. Let me see if I've got my button here. Psalm 96. Is that it? There you go. If you find the place you're able to stand, look in Psalms 96, verse 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and sing unto the Lord all the earth. Ain't that amazing? That's not just something for you and I, for all the earth ought to be singing unto the Lord. Singing unto the Lord and bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen and His wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, and He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord hath made the heavens. Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of Thy word, and how we do thank You now for the good songs of Zion that we've been able to enjoy together. We pray that now that You would right every wrong, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank You, and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while some things that I think that would be a blessing to you and an encouragement, especially if you do not yet know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. And if you say, well, yeah, preacher, I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going to heaven. I've been baptized. Well, we're not talking about water baptism. And I said, well, you know, I think I would go. I'm doing the best that I possibly can. The Bible said there's none good. No, not one. There may be somebody that along the lines in life that you go to thinking about, well, somehow or another, I don't know, I just like going to church and all of that. Well, I want to preach a little while and mention some things about what real worship does. If you're a child of God, real worship is part of your life. We just got through reading some of the things that are there. Do you know that one of the things that real worship does? Sings unto the Lord. I mean, listen, if you're a child of God, you ought to be able to somehow or another take a break every now and again from shoot low, sheriff, she's crawling. And you ought to be able to expound the scripture to somebody or at least invite them to the house of God on a regular basis. Real worship, buddy, wants to magnify the Lord, wants to talk about the Lord, wants to preach about the Lord, wants to tell the heathen about the Lord. See? And so in this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to be able to find out is that we're talking about showing and singing and speaking in the behalf of the Lord. Do you know salvation is in a person? His name is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't have time to go to very many spots. You'll have to look them up later. But there's a passage over there in the book of 1 Timothy, if I've gotten it right. Maybe it's 2 Timothy, yes. In 2 Timothy in chapter number 1, and let me tell you something. This Bible said concerning the Lord, who hath saved us and called us with his holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and he hath brought to life immortality and to light through the gospel. Let me tell you, is that when you got saved, there was a calling, a holy calling that God was putting upon your heart and your life. I got to tell you right now, it was not just bow your head and repeat this prayer. That's not going to do it. It's going to be a holy calling that came from God that made you know who you are and made you realize who He is. And as a result of that, you got born into the family of God. Now, in this Bible lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that the Bible said that you and I have been called into the family of God. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 1, it's about verse number 9. Listen to what he said. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, he said, "For God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." You know how I got in? God called me in. God granted me repentance. God gave me faith. And that's the holy calling that God was talking about. It's not just a calling. That's a holy calling, friend. You know, in this lesson here that you're looking at, you'll find out salvation is not just in, it's not in a process at all. It's in a person, and his name is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was thinking about whenever you look into this lesson that's here, you'll find it's by the power of God. You know, the only thing that's powerful enough to bust off the shackles of sin is the power of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You're never going to squirm your way out of it. You're never going to be able to talk your way out of it. You're going to have the Holy Spirit of the Lord and that holy calling that'll knock off the power, the shackles of sin by His power, and that will save you by the grace of God. I was thinking about whenever, you know, I grew up going to church. And I remember when I was but a lad, and I remember being able to walk down the aisle, taking the preacher by the hand, telling the preacher, you know, that I wanted to go to heaven. And as a result, he spit out a few words and this and that and told me, now, Dennis, don't ever let anybody talk you out of it. But I didn't get saved. I just got religious. I got to tell you something, is that you'll find at the age of 24, God came knocking upon my heart's door, showed me myself like He saw me, and as a result of that, granted me repentance, gave me faith that I might be able to come to Him as an empty-handed beggar, and He brought me into His house and into His family and into His kingdom by holy calling. And let me tell you right now, if that ain't what you've got, you need that is what you really need. I want to say to you that in the day we live in is that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I was thinking about, you know, there's a lot of times that folks up and down the road of life, we've had in, I've been here now, let's see here, coming up this year in, when is it, June. This year, if I live that long, I'll be here at pastor in this church for 32 years. Am I telling it right? Yeah, I always ask my wife, you know, the older I get, the less I remember. And let me tell you right now is God has been good to me. And we've seen a lot of people come and a lot of people go. They don't tell me how many churches that we've built by people that were looking for a church. And we went ahead and pointed them down the road. And I don't mean that to be ugly. I just mean it, and it is ugly. I'm just telling you right now. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church. I can recommend several of them for you. But if you don't find out where God wants you to be and what God wants you to be doing, see what I'm talking about? As a result of that, you're going to find out that if you're going to have the songs of Zion in your heart and you're going to sing unto the Lord, you're going to have to be able to follow the mind of God and the will of God. I was thinking about in this lesson here that you're looking at is that you'll find that salvation's in a person. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but you're going to find out it's by His power. Well, there's not anybody that's more powerful than the Lord. And let me tell you right now, the devil would like to keep you deceived and keep you blind and keep you in his clutches, but God's able to open your heart and your eyes and your understanding as to what you need in Christ. I tell you something right now. Let me slow down enough to ask, have you had that kind of conviction in your heart and life? Has God come ever knocking on your heart's door? And you say, I tell you what, preacher, that whatever it is you're talking about, I want that. Well, you can have it. It's been provided for full and free. Not according to our works, but according to the grace of God, that you and I might be washed by the blood and born into the family of God. I was thinking about in this lesson that was here, you'll find that whenever God moves, it's a permanent thing. It's not just temporarily and all of that. I'd hate to know that I was in one day and out one day and in one day and out. That's like a yo-yo Baptist, see, up and down, in and out, and you don't know what to do next. Let me tell you what God says in this Bible here about it. You're going to find out it's by His power that you and I are born and washed by the blood into the family of God. And let me tell you, whenever it is, it'll be permanent. Do you see that? I hadn't got a wonder about today if it's going to be the same way. Do you know all these years that I've been washed by the blood, born into the family of God, God granted me repentance, God gave me faith, God called me in, and out of all these years, but He's ever been faithful and He's ever been the same. I'm not having to hold on and hold out and do the best I can. I've got somebody holding me on and holding me in. You see what I'm talking about? I feel sorry for folks that are in one day and out the next day, and they don't know if they're, that's what you call a yo-yo Baptist. They're up and they're down, they're spinning around and this and that. No, no, I got something permanent. I got something real. If you're a child of God, you will too. Do you know the very one thing that'll save a person's soul is the preaching of the cross? And without, and you know that's what God chose.
Yes,
the Bible said the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. You know why I can't get my kin folks to come to church and listen to preaching? They're scared. They're scared something's going to be wrong in their life and they don't want to know about it.
Right.
I got to tell you something. That's the reason why you can't get some of your family to go. Listen, when God moves upon your heart and upon your life, it'll be by the foolishness of preaching that God saved your soul. See? If you came to church and you're a child of God, I've had people that came and said, listen, one, sometime we'll have, you know, like dinner on the ground, not often, but sometime. We'll have it a couple of times. That's a couple of times a year. That's about... like some of my kin folks, they like to show up about a couple of times a year if you're going to feed them good. Now, I don't mind feeding them, and I will feed them, because I want them, if they don't want God, I want them to know that we've done the best we could to preach the gospel to them and to be able to show them the right way of how to miss hell and make heaven. I want them to see that. If they're going to die and go to hell, I'd like them to be fat when they get there. I know some of you right here, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, the world, it has become more worldly. The church has become more worldly, and the world's become more churchy. See? You know, there's a lot of things that we're never going to get corrected. There's a lot of things you're never going to do. I told my wife, as we were driving down the road this morning and all that, and all you, let me just go ahead and say it while all of you look pretty good this morning, ladies and men alike. Is that you ought to look decent. You ought to look good. You ought to look right. You ought to cover up your nakedness and all that business there, see? And all that business there. You know, if a woman is got her bosom showing out, it's something wrong there. Now, I know, and let me just tell you, and some of you can't amen this, and that's fine that you can't. It makes me want to salute and say, thank you, ma'am, for your service. But that's not right. Some of you boys are grinning because I know you'd like to say that too. I just got to tell you, there's a right way and a wrong way to believe what the gospel has to say. And your appearance ought to be that which magnifies the name of the Lord. See? I was thinking about in this lesson that's here, you'll find the preaching of the cross, the Bible said, to them that perish is foolishness. But to us that believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm glad to be able to say that we can sing unto the Lord. And one of the things in real signs of worship is that we want to sing unto the Lord. Now, I tell you, I like this congregation singing and singing collectively. I like this special music singing. I like that and all that right there. Now, I used to have a preacher friend, and this is no reflection on none of you because I think you're all on the same page and this and that, and if you're not, then that's fine and that's all right. I had a preacher brother that would condemn us because we clowned. And I don't care. I don't care that he didn't like it. He clapped for some things, but he wouldn't clap for these good godly singers. Something's wrong somewhere with that. Nothing wrong, buddy. I'm glad that we make a joyful noise unto the Lord, that we're singing praises unto the name of the Lord. Real worship sings unto the Lord. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that we live in a world that people are so moody. I think they went to Moody Bible Institute. They're just so moody. One day they're up, and the next day they're down. One day they're out, and the next day they're in. One day they're happy, and the next day they're sad. Let me tell you right now is that if all you can be is an old sire puss when you get home, no wonder you don't enjoy living. See what I'm talking about? The joy of the Lord should be our strength. And if you can't be a little happy every now and again, I know some of you ladies, what you're thinking about, is that you're thinking about if you was married to who I was married to, you wouldn't be able. Just remember, you picked him. Sometimes you may have, well, my wife's not happy in Jehovah's life. Let me just tell you right now, you picked her. Amen. See? When we begin to look into this Bible, we begin to realize and know that if you're a child of God, you can sing unto the Lord. And listen, I'm not a good singer. I'll sing at it. I'm not a good singer. But I want to tell you right now is, over in the book of Job, that Bible said in chapter number 38, and about verse number 7, that all of creation that began with a shout, and let me tell you right now, the angels of God were out there shouting because of the creation of God and what God has done. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out some things, and that is simply that when we look into the Bible, we show the heathen the salvation of the Lord. You know, somebody ought to be able to tell that you are different than what they are religiously in the world. You're not the same as you was when you got born and when you got big enough to be able to toddler and to finally get big enough to be a grown woman or a grown man, as that something is different in your life than before you got saved. I begin to think about in this lesson that's here is that you'll find that what God wants to do is grant you repentance unto salvation. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Yeah, you know, every now and again, and some of you know this already that I'm about to tell you, is that I don't particularly like Willie Nelson. I wish he'd get the oil changed in his clothes and in his hair and get him a haircut. But I used to like to hear him sing every now and again whenever I'd be in a store or whatever. I don't have it anywhere in my repertoire, but I used to like to hear him sing that Good Morning America about that freight train, this and that and so forth. And all. But that ain't my song. My song is what can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, real salvation, real worship, not only worships the Lord, it speaks about the Lord to a lost and to a dying world. And it declares unto him the righteousness of God. I want to say to you that whenever you look into it is that there was an old man one time by the name of Thomas Adams. He's dead, gone, been that way for many years, but here's what he said. It's poor worship to move our hats and not our hearts unto the Lord. You come to the house of God, you ought to be ready to pour your heart out unto the Lord. You ought to be ready for God to be able to cleanse you of everything. You ought to be ready for God to speak to you and to give you something lasting for all eternity. I'll tell you something. Whenever you got saved, people on the job noticed it. When you got saved, people in your house noticed it. When you got saved, people in the church noticed it. When you got born again, anybody and everybody up and down the road of life that you came in contact knew something was different about you. I want to say to you that as we get ready to get down to the short road, the reason being is because of the fact that real worship bows down and prostrates itself before the Lord in obedience unto what God is going to give you. I want to say to you that, if you will, that real worship not only does those things, but it submits to the word of the Lord. You know, every time that you open up this book and you begin to read the word of the Lord, I don't care if it's the New Testament, I don't care if it's the Old Testament, listen, it's all the word of the Lord. And when God begins to work in your heart and your life, let me tell you something, you'll find that the New Testament and the Old Testament are the two lips by which God speaks to us. And I'm glad to know that God has given us a complete word of the Lord. I was thinking about, you know, the Bible said that we're not to judge according to the way things look. But the Bible said you and I are to judge righteous judgment. If you do that, it's going to be according to this truth, the word of the Lord. When we're judged before the Lord, it'll be by the word of the Lord, Jesus said. And I got to tell you right now is that there's a lot of people up and down the road of life. I would to God they'd come to know him in the free pardon of sin, but they just will not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. See? And if you don't receive the love of the truth that you might be saved, you'll die without hope, without God, and go to a devil's hell. Not because he doesn't love you, but because you wouldn't receive him in the free pardon of sin. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, is that you'll find out that if we're not careful, that we become judges of evil thoughts instead of expounding and exalting the name of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, we'll get to where we're critical of what he's done, what he's doing, and so forth and on. I can tell you, remember whenever Jesus was going through the countryside, and remember whenever Jesus finally pulled in there and he was going to have a meal, and all of a sudden there was a bunch of sinners that came. And as a result of that, they began to sit down and eat at the table he was eating at. And you know what the Pharisees did? They began to look at him. And I can't believe Jesus is letting them sit there and eat with him. And when Jesus knew and perceived what they were saying, do you realize that what he done was? He said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Now, I can tell you right now is we ought not to be soliciting, and we ought not to be going to some of these places that the world without hope, without God's going. But let me just tell you, every now and again, there may be an old sinner come around. Hey, it may be a man, maybe a woman, maybe a family. But you and I never want to get to where we're so pharisaical to where that we go to condemning those that the Lord might want to save. I'll tell you, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, go and learn what that meaneth. I'll tell you what it'll do is the next time you get ready to pass judgment on somebody, it'll make you stop, be a little slower, and to recognize and know there's a God in heaven, and his name's the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no mistake about it, is that he'll right every wrong in your heart and life and use your lip and use your life to be able to witness to others up and down the road of life. I just wonder there this morning, is that have you received the love of the truth that you might be saved? I hope you have, and if you have not, I hope today will be the day. I can tell you right now, the truth will always finally come out. And you shall know the truth, the Bible said, and the truth shall make you free. I wonder why we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed, and as we get ready for the invitation song, you may be here this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but I've got some things in my life I need to get straightened out. This would be a good time to do it." You may be here and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know the Lord. God's been pounding on my heart even as you're speaking. This would be a good time to come forward, receive him in the free pardon of sin." If God's calling you out and calling you in, this would be a good time to respond unto him. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon this sermon. And we pray that, Lord, you'd draw these people that may need you unto thyself. I want to say thank you, Lord, for loving us even while we've been unlovable. We thank you that thou art God and beside thee there's none else. Now I pray you finish the sermon in every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is that?
Bit number 203.
203 while we sing. If you need to come, come quickly while we sing.